Well, shucks. I have a meeting that I'm 2 minutes late for, but I was recording the show and I lost track of time. So, Marcus, anyway, here's the show.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is February 9th, 2022 at 1900 UTC. And that means, hey, it's time for the news. This is a daily news show where we go ahead and talk about just what news is to me. Kind of boil it down. If you want to hang out and talk during the show, a bunch of us hang out in Calm. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org and then launch Calm. COM, press enter, then G for go to, then type a non-radio, all lowercase, all one word. And once you do that, you'll be in the room with the cool folks. Just press H for help, or H for help is usually the biggest one. You can press the equal sign to see what's coming up on the schedule. And, well, there's just a whole bunch of other stuff, but you'll pick up. If you're new, you don't have an SDF account, you just SSH over as NEW at SDF.org and follow the sign-up process. It is pretty quick and easy. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the news. One other thing I wanted to just shout out. I'm not sure. I think I remember. I was at a bar last night talking to somebody after a comedy show, and I told them all about it on radio. So I think, if I remember right, I think your name was Spencer. So hello. I hope you checked out Anon Radio and maybe checked out News to Me. But if anything, I hope you checked out the electronic shows I was pointing you to. Alrighty. Let's get started the way we almost always start.
World News.
That's right. And first, we're talking about something that is really exciting for the whole world, and hopefully, I think Publius might be excited about this too. European scientists say they have made a major breakthrough in their quest to develop practical nuclear fusion, the energy process that powers the stars. The UK-based JET laboratory has smashed its own world record for the amount of energy it can extract by squeezing together two forms of hydrogen. If nuclear fusion can be successfully recreated on Earth, it holds out the potential of virtually unlimited supplies of low-carbon, low-radiation energy. The experiments produced 59 megajoules of energy over 5 seconds, 11 megawatts of power. This is more than double what was achieved in a similar test back in 1997. It's not a massive energy output, only enough to boil about 60 kettles worth of water, but the significance is that it validates design choices that have been made for an even bigger fusion reactor now being constructed in France. The JET experiments put us a step closer to fusion power, said Dr. Joe Milnes, the head of operations at the reactor lab. We've demonstrated that we can create a mini star inside of our machine and hold it there for 5 seconds and get high performance, which really takes us into a new realm. So this is very exciting news. You're throwing I always screw up the way these sciencey words, but deuterium and tritium and heat and all smash together, and a neutron gets kicked out. We get a bunch of heat and steam and also some helium, and that's something else we need because we've been pouring all of our helium out in the atmosphere. The ITER facility in southern France is supported by a consortium of world governments, including from EU member states, the US, China, and Russia. It is expected to be the last step in proving nuclear fusion can become a reliable energy provider in the second half of this century. Operating the power plants of the future based on fusion would produce no greenhouse gases and only very small amounts of short-lived radioactive waste. These experiments we've just completed had to work, said JET CEO Professor Ian Chapman. If they hadn't, then we'd have real concerns about whether ITER could meet its goals. So this is really exciting, and it's one of the first scientific breakthroughs that I'm kind of bummed that I'll probably be dead before it's realized. All right. That's all the good news. No, not really. Today has much less death and destruction than normal. You're welcome. Outrage after hijab-wearing woman heckled by Hindu mob in India. Authorities shut education institutions after protests over the ban on hijab intensifies in southern Karnataka state. A video posted on Twitter showing a hijab-wearing Muslim student being heckled by a Hindu far-right mob at a college in Karnataka state has caused outrage amid intensifying protests over a ban on Islamic headscarves in the southern state. Muskan Khan was surrounded by men wearing saffron scarves as she arrived at her college in Mandaya. The viral video showed as she confronted the protesters, many of whom she said were outsiders. The ban on Islamic headscarves has outraged Muslim students, who says it's an attack on their faith enshrined in India's secular constitution, while Hindu right-wing groups have tried to prevent Muslim women from entering educational institutions, causing communal tension. I was just there to submit an assignment. That's why I entered the college. They were not allowing me to go inside just because I was wearing the burqa, Khan later told India's NDTV news channel. After that, they started shouting the slogan, Jai Shri Ram, Hail Lord Ram. You may remember, this is what they shouted when they beat and killed some guys up in the north of the country, and is just generally what's shouted by the far right before they murder or assault somebody or do something else super like crazy heinous. 10% of the protesters were from colleges, but the rest of them were outsiders, Khan said. So, let's see. B.C. Nagesh, the education minister of Karnataka, who tweeted the order, said school dress codes had been set after reviewing court decisions from across the country to ban the hijab at educational institutions. Campuses have seen escalating confrontations between Muslim students condemning the ban and Hindu pupils that say their classmates have disrupted their education. Local media reported last week that several schools in the coastal city of Udupi had denied entry to Muslim girls wearing the hijab, citing an education ministry order, prompting protests from parents and students. So, yeah, it's very tiring, because it's like, so many, what could be altruistic or neutral groups have such strong opinions or such strong, like, I just don't get it. Why does someone wearing a headscarf bother you so much? I don't know. I don't get it. It's a lot of hate for no reason, other than to just be mad and hate. This is very similar. What's funny is France and India are on the same side, and they have very different reasons for being there. But it doesn't really matter. It's just disgusting, the religious discrimination like that. All right, well, let's talk about death. Many killed, injured in mudslide in West Colombia. This is the country Colombia. In Texas, there is a town called West Colombia, south of Houston. This is about the country of Colombia. Heavy rains caused a mudslide to sweep through a residential area in western Colombian town on Tuesday morning, killing at least 14 people and injuring 35 others. Early morning rains triggered a landslide on a mountain in west-central Risaralda province, burying several houses in the poor municipality of Dos Quebradas. The disaster relief agency released a photo showing a gap in the lush vegetation. Following the mudslide. Rescue teams said they feared further mudslides could cause a dam to form on the nearby Otun River, exacerbating the disaster. Several families living near the river have been evacuated due to the risk of flooding. And there's a video at africanews.com if you want to check it out. It's just a big wall of mud in the middle of a forest, so it's not really very exciting visually. Syrian soldier killed in Israeli missile attack near Damascus. There you go. I'm saying words, I promise. A Syrian soldier has been killed and 5 wounded in an Israeli attack near the capital of Damascus, Syrian state media said. The Israeli army acknowledged it struck Syrian facilities early on Wednesday using targeting aircraft, including radar and anti-aircraft batteries. The Syrian news agency Sana, S-A-N-A, said surface-to-surface missile attacks from the direction of the occupied Golan hit at 1:10 a.m., which is 23:10 GMT on Tuesday, in the vicinity of Damascus. Some missiles were brought down by Syrian air defenses. The Israeli military said it attacked targets in Syria in response to an anti-aircraft missile fired from that direction into northern Israel. The rocket exploded in the air and was not intercepted by Israeli air defenses, but it activated warning sirens in Umm al-Fahm, a Palestinian city in northern Israel, according to the military. There were no reports of injuries or damage. In response to the anti-aircraft missile launched from Syria earlier tonight, we just struck surface-to-air missile targets in Syria, including radar and anti-aircraft batteries. Israel has launched hundreds of attacks on targets inside government-controlled parts of Syria over the past decade of Syria's war, but its government rarely acknowledges or discusses such operations. Tel Aviv has said it's targeting bases of Iran-allied armed groups, including Lebanon's Hezbollah, which is fighting on the side of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's forces. Israel declined to comment on the attack, which was reported by Sana. The UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said the attacks hit military outposts and a weapon depot belonging to Hezbollah. Oh, right. So much fun. So much death. Meaningless death. Ghanaian journalist jailed 14 days for contempt. A Ghanaian journalist has been jailed for 14 days by a court after he was found guilty of contempt of court on Tuesday. The broadcaster working for Accra-based Power FM, Ohinaba Boama Beni, was captured on tape alleging that Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo, met with some eight judges, including Chief Justice Kwasi Anan-Yeboah, after the 2020 December polls to influence a court ruling after the opposition filed a petition at the Supreme Court. The 36-year-old journalist was fined $468, which is 3,000 local currency, by the court presided over by Justice Elfrieda Denki. The Attorney General, Godfred Yeboah Adame, who led the prosecution, argued that the culprit ought to be penalized to deter others from making such unsubstantiated claims. Ohinaba is to serve his sentence at the Nsawam prisons. Local media reported that the journalist was cautioned on the offenses of offensive conduct conducive to breaches of the peace and publication of false news contrary to sections 207 and 208 of the Criminal and Other Offenses Act. So, this is because he said this without any without anything to back it up. But still, it's always weird and bad. It's always bad to jail journalists. Sure, punish them or something, but anyway, very interesting. All right, one more story, and then we've got some music. Why?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
That guy is why. Well, check this out. This is a sad and frustrating story. The English test that ruined thousands of lives. A BBC investigation has raised fresh doubts about the evidence used to throw thousands of people out of the UK for allegedly cheating in an English language test. Whistleblower testimony and official documents obtained by Newsnight reveal the Home Office has continued to try to remove people based on the claims of the International Testing Organization's ETS, despite knowing of serious concerns about its conduct and flaws in its data. More than 2,500 people were deported, and at least 7,200 more were forced to leave Britain after ETS accused them of cheating in an exam it set and marked. Others who remain in the UK continue to fight to clear their names after enduring years of hardship. The crackdown was sparked by a 2014 BBC Panorama investigation that revealed two London test centres were running fraudulent exams so people could falsely obtain a pass they could use to apply for a visa. Following these revelations, the government asked ETS to assess the scale of student cheating across more than 100 independent centers, which were contracted as test venues. ETS gave them a massive list of alleged cheats, but despite proof that this included some innocent people who had been wrongly accused, the Home Office continued to stand by ETS's evidence. Labour MP Stephen Timm said clearly ETS was a discredited witness, and yet the Home Office relied on them totally. Newsnight has also uncovered further evidence, much of which has been known to the department for several years, which raised additional questions about why ETS has been trusted to investigate what went on. In the new investigation, by the same journalist who exposed the original fraud, the BBC can reveal past and present ETS staff told the Home Office they had found significant evidence of organized cheating almost 2 years before it was exposed. They told the Home Office investigators their efforts to close some fraudulent test centers were blocked by managers who were worried test fee income would fall. Surprise, surprise. From these accounts, the Home Office learned it had been kept in the dark about the fraud. Investigators were also given eyewitness testimony that some tests were faked with a method known as remote testing, which lawyers believe undermines ETS's evidence. The chair of the Public Accounts Committee, Labor MP Meg Hillier, told the BBC, "Given what you found, I think the Home Office can no longer rely on this ETS data." Goes on to talk a little bit about the people whose lives have been ruined by this. But you can read all of that at thebbc.com. One of the things, though, is it's just a tragedy, this cheating scandal that's going on. And it's totally unrelated. One second. I want to pull this up. I read the story yesterday, but I don't think I told you guys. I can't remember. I don't. So I want to mention it just because it's related and it made me smile and then feel sad. Irish vet's English fails Australian computer's visa test. An Irish vet who, with two university degrees, has been told by a computerized test that her spoken English is not good enough for an Australian visa. Louise Kennedy, originally from County Wicklow, applied for permanent residency after 2 years in Australia. She's been working as a vet in Queensland. Ah, they're talking about a veterinarian. I thought they were talking about a veteran of a war. Miss Kennedy, RTE Radio, she was not the only applicant whose opportunity to gain a visa has been affected. I've had messages on Facebook from other native speakers who have also failed on the oral fluency component, she said. The mandatory test involved writing, reading, and speaking, with the oral section scored by voice recognition technology. Miss Kennedy was initially unconcerned about the oral test, which involved reading a paragraph that appeared on the screen. I went and did the English test, didn't think much of it, thought it was quite easy, and then came up 5 points short on my visa. She was told she scored 74 points, below the 79 required, having scored 90 or more in all other parts. The vet, who is married to an Australian and expecting her first child in October, said she believed the failure was caused by flaws in the voice recognition technology. The company that runs the test, Pearson, told the Australian Associated Press there were no problems with their system. She's been offered the chance to retake the test free of charge due to possible interference caused by construction work outside the center. But with her current visa running out in September, she has had to look at alternative arrangements. Luckily, I married my Australian husband in February, so I've been able to apply for a spousal visa. But if I wasn't in that situation, I could be coming home right now, she said. The catch is the spousal visa application costs $3,000, more than the skilled migrant visa for which she applied. It's not a great time for us to pay, but at least I can stay, she said. So anyway, I just wanted to point out that visa stuff is screwed up everywhere, and it all seems to be coming from, could you believe it, private for-profit companies working for the government do not have the best interest of the people at heart? Oh, man. Very, very, very surprising. I just cannot believe it. All right, well, let's play a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
That took longer than I thought, but I was just like, oh, we got to talk about this. All right, well, let's see what we got here hanging out in the old music archives. How about we go with, I know. I was talking about these guys last night. So let's play one of their songs. This is called Alleyway Jack. Well, no, that's going to be too long. We'll do this one. This is called Les Quatre Cents Coupes. Oh, it's French. LesQuatre Cents Coupes. Thank you.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You are listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. And SDF, well, my friends, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out and listening and all you do for SDF. We've got, just about 7 minutes, 7 minutes and some change before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which happens every single day, which means every day, holidays, weekends, whether or not Tobe is, as long as the wind has not destroyed Tobe's internet, and he's not, I don't know, messed up lately. So, fingers crossed, we don't have any missed committee meetings because the chairman's in the hospital. All right, well, let's go through and talk about some more news. Meta's threat to close down Facebook and Instagram in Europe backfires as EU leaders embrace shutdown. Life would be very good without. Which I found to be very funny. European leaders have embraced Meta's indirect warning of shutting down its Facebook and Instagram operations across Europe if the social media giant is no longer able to process Europe's data on U.S. servers. Last night, Germany's new economic minister, Robert Habeck, told reporters during a meeting in Paris, "After I was hacked, I've lived without Facebook and Twitter for 4 years, and life has been fantastic." Speaking alongside his German colleague, French finance minister Bruno Le Maire added, "I can confirm that life would be very good without Facebook and that we would live very well without it, without Facebook." French finance minister Bruno Le Maire further was quoted saying, digital giants must understand that the European continent will resist and affirm its sovereignty." The two leaders commented on Meta's statement that if it was not given the option to transfer, store, and process data from its European users on U.S. servers, Facebook and Instagram may be shut down. The social media giant's owner reportedly warned in its annual report that the key issue for Meta is that transatlantic data transfers, regulated via the so-called Privacy Shield and other model agreements that Meta uses, are used to store data from European users on American servers. In a recent report, the U.S. Security and Exchange Commission, Meta warned that if a data transfer framework is not adopted and the company is no longer allowed to use the current model agreements or alternatives, the company will probably, in quotes, no longer be able to offer many of its most significant products and services, including Facebook and Instagram in the EU. Sharing data between countries and regions is crucial for the provision of its services and targeted advertising, Meta stressed. The current agreements to enable data transfers are currently under heavy scrutiny in the EU. Therefore, it previously used the transatlantic data transfer framework called Privacy Shield as the legal basis to carry out the transfers. However, this treaty was annulled by the European Court of Justice in July 2020 because of data protection violations. So, we'll see. I, for one, would love to see Google and Facebook and all the FANG companies, really, get put in their place, because it really seems like Twitter, all these big tech companies, really seem to think that they exist outside of the governments of the world and that they're like just making the world better. But you should pay them to do it. All right. Speeding it up. what else is going on? Well, 1 in 5 applicants to white supremacist groups are in the U.S. military. Yeah, that's right. Surprise, surprise. The U.S. military and probably the police are full of racists. 1 in 5 applicants to the white supremacist group Patriot Front claim to hold current or former ties to the U.S. military, according to leaked documents published and reviewed by the Southern Poverty Law Center and alternative media collective Unicorn Riot. Some 18 out of the 87 applicants, or 21%, said they were currently or previously affiliated with the military. One applicant, who claimed to be a former Marine, also said he currently worked for the Department of Homeland Security, according to the SPLC, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, Hate Watch, a blog that tracks and exposes activities of American right-wing extremists. A white supremacist and neo-fascist hate group, Patriot Front, emerged as a rebrand of the neo-Nazi organization Vanguard America in the aftermath of the 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. That's the rally where the guy ran over, drove his car into the crowd of people. According to the SPLC, the Patriot Front represents one of the most prominent white supremacist supremacist groups in the country and is led by Thomas Rousseau, a 23-year-old man based in Dallas, Texas. A nation within a nation is our goal. I'm not going to quote him. In January, Unicorn Riot published over 400 gigabytes of data that included ostensibly private, unedited videos and direct messages that reveal a campaign to organize acts of hatred while indoctrinating teenagers into National Socialism. Group members and applicants expressed an open admiration for Nazi ideologies, with the latter expressing various motivations for joining the group. So there's more detail in the story, if you'd like, at The Guardian, but just in general, it's just very disturbing and sad. Speaking of sad, something that's been really messing me up, I don't sleep well since this happened, and it's just been causing me trouble. Another young black man was killed by the police. Amir Locke. Protesters demand end to no-knock warrants. Protesters in Minneapolis are demanding justice after a no-knock warrant resulted in the death of a 22-year-old man during a police raid. Body cam shows the police entered the apartment and fired 3 shots in a matter of seconds. It was 9 seconds. Amir Locke was not the target of the warrant and was armed with a gun for which he had a permit.
7, 6,